Redeemed number two. All right, last week I set up how mankind acquired death and decay. We talked about the fall of the man, mankind in the garden. And death came by breaking one rule that was in existence at the time. And even though there was only one rule, man embellished and added to it. And so we were not created unrighteous. We chose it. And we chose it the first chance we had. And so none of this, though, caught God off of guard. And, you know, he knew what was going on. He knew that we would abuse our free will. You know, God wanted to give us free will, and he knew the minute that he did that we would abuse it. Nevertheless, God did not withhold the gift of free will from us because he has free will, and he wants us to be exactly like him. Because it's with that same free will that we choose to accept God. And that's important to him. That we accept him by our free will. You know, not as slaves or those that are indentured or whatever you would say. We are uniquely different from everything else in creation. Only we can become children of God. We're not pets. We're not slaves. We're not even angels. We're children. And only we can grow up to be exactly like God. And that's an awesome thing. You know, it shouldn't surprise us that God built redemption into his plan before the foundation of creation was laid, ready to redeem those who would choose him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says, And I will put... This is, again, back in the creation story. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So I want you to see that her seed is an individual. Speaking to Satan, God said, I will put enmity or division between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. So the question becomes, who was Satan's seed? Well, that's us, mankind. John 8:44 says this. This is Jesus speaking. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And so if you ever wonder why people want to do harmful things, dumb things, things that actually are not good for us, it's because we have a nature of Satan in us. When Adam rebelled against God, we took on the nature of Satan. So who then is the seed of the woman? Well, that's Jesus. God preserved the nature of a woman's seed. She doesn't pass death on to her children. That way, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, she would birth a child with God's nature instead of one with Satan's nature. We're children of the earth. We're children of Satan. We're children of death. Children from a father that rebelled against God. Jesus is a child from heaven, a child of God, a child of life. He was born of a father in heaven. And so men are responsible for passing Satan's nature on to their children. The nature to decay and to die comes from men. Because we rebelled. Because our pappy, Adam, rebelled. A woman dies because her father passes the nature to her. But she does not pass death on to her children. Her husband does that. And that's why we cherish her. And that's why we protect her. You know, I cannot offer my life for your life. Because we both have death built into us. Both you and I will die. I can give you a blood transfusion. It will provide the benefit of human blood, but that won't keep you alive forever. But when Jesus was born of a woman by the Holy Spirit, there was no death in Jesus' blood. So he could exchange his life for our death. He gives us a blood transfusion that gives us eternal life. Now, I want to continue this story to the time of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, 'By myself I have sworn.'" Who did God swore by?
Himself.
He says, "By myself." He's doing this unilaterally. He said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and your seed all the nations of earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So we had a man who didn't obey, and now suddenly here's a man who obeys in one thing. And so God makes a promise to Abraham. And it wasn't conditioned on future actions or events. It wasn't based on if Abraham continued to worship God. It wasn't based on anything he did. God said, "By myself, I have sworn." Does God change his mind? Does he make promises that he doesn't keep? The promise wasn't based on Abraham or his descendants keeping commands. It was based on God's decision to reward Abraham's obedience at that time. So now let's go back, and I want you to look at verse 16 and 18. Genesis 22, it says, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in your seed," we're going to look at that seed again, "all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." God says, "By myself I have sworn." In verse 18, he said, because of Abraham's obedience in this one matter, that his seed would bless all nations. And the seed that God is talking about here is the same seed that God talked about the woman having back in Genesis. Galatians 3:16, we can see this. I'm just going to jump there real quick. It says, "Now to Abraham," and this is Paul speaking, he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds as of many, but as one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Okay, so Paul was the first one to get a revelation on this. And so we see that God promises this seed. It's going to bring redemption. Before he ever pronounced death on man, before he ever told man that they were going to die and return to dust, he first promised redemption. And now he comes to Abraham, and he promises, he picks this up, and we see it unfold some more. And he makes a promise to Abraham that through this seed that's going to come through Abraham is going to save nations. Our theme is redemption. And when we look at the fall of mankind, what we see that God had a plan for redemption from the beginning. And now we see that plan is unfolding. Redemption is going to be based on the promise God made to Abraham. So whenever we're talking about redemption, remember, we're talking about a promise that God made to Abraham. It was a unilateral. He just did it. It wasn't based upon anything anybody was going to do. Redemption is going to be based on the promise God made to Abraham when Abraham was obedient in his willingness. We've been talking about willingness today, and in his willingness to offer his son to God. God didn't actually let him give his son, but Abraham was certainly willing to do it. And that's all it took. Willingness moves God, doesn't it? And I just encourage you, that sometimes we do things for God, especially if we think we're in a pickle, or whatever the case is, and we're not always so willing. We just feel forced. It's like a child being forced to clean the room, but they don't want to clean the room. How many chores do you do in life and every day that you not necessarily willing to do? I just encourage you, to learn. If you're going to spend the time and energy doing things, you ought to just add willingness to it. Just by adding willingness to your life, to the things that you do, it will turn your life completely upright. It's a powerful, powerful force. But long before Jesus was born, after Abram was given this promise, between the time God promised redemption and the time that Jesus appeared, the law came along. They were talking about the Ten Commandments. And the law initiated with the Ten Commandments came 430 years after God made his promise to Abraham. And 2,000 years before Jesus. Okay, so when God gave the commandments, it wasn't because he changed his mind about the promise. It wasn't, he didn't say, you know what? I know I promised you that you were going to go to the adventure land, but you know what? You didn't clean your room up, now I'm mad at you, so we're not going. When God gave the commandments, it wasn't because he changed his mind about the promise. The law was added to add structure to the Jewish society until the Messiah would appear. God had already destroyed mankind by flood because they had become irredeemable. And they were closing in on that again. But God promised he wasn't going to do that again. And so the law was added to educate the Israelites. It was given to them to make them painfully aware that they needed a redeemer. Some people think they don't need Jesus. Well, let them just hang in there a little longer. The law was a tutor or a guardian. Okay, so the reason Jesus didn't come sooner, though, or later, was because there was only one precise time that redemption could be birthed. Too early or too late, and redemption would have been stillborn. And so only at that time could the root of redemption be birthed, and even at the time that Jesus came, there were still only a few that took hold of it, a few men and women, but today redemption is working all around the world. So I want to look at the law, this tutor, this trainer, this babysitter, however you want to call it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey," how do you have to obey? "If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully," how do you have to observe? Carefully, "all his commandments," how many commandments? "Which I command you today that the Lord your God will set," today, "that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God." All right, so these blessings are conditioned upon obedience, not upon something that God swore by himself. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 15. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Boo. And so a system of reward and punishment, which is a system that's native to us, was initiated by God at this time. Notice that it was conditional upon people if they diligently obeyed and if they carefully observed. And you can't sort of do it. It's not good enough to be in the 99 percentile. It must be 100%. And so this came to be known as the curse of the law, because no one can fulfill the first part. They always break the law and earn the second part. The blessings are contained in the first 14 verses, but the curse was carried on for some 52 verses. Didn't really matter how short the list of blessings was, because no one was going to get them anyway. All they were going to get was the curse. So let's make sure you got a good handle on what's included in the curse. And I don't know if you've ever read the curse. Heck, let's just do it now, or at least part of it. Because here's what we're going to read this curse, and what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of the things in this curse are part of the world today. They might even be part of your life. Or they might describe a direction that you see yourself going. I just want you to know that the curse is not for you. And so, you know, if you're experiencing any part of this, you need to get a new revelation on this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 16 says this: cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. So you can move all over the place, north, south, east, west, I don't care where you go. It's not going to fix it. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. You know, you come in and the mate says something wrong, and now you're mad, and so then you go out. You're not going to be any more blessed out there than you are in there with her, so you just well stay in there. Or him. Oops. I told you before I started that I didn't always say everything right. All right, here we go. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with a sword, with scorching, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Verse 25, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord, verse 28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. There's a lot of confused people in the world today. And you will grope at noonday as blind men grope in darkness. A lot of people avoid the daytime now. You will grope in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will lie with her. And you know, there's a lot of divorce today. A lot of stuff going on that shouldn't be going on. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fall and fail with longing for them all day long. A lot of children won't have anything to do with their parents anymore. And there shall be no strength in your hand. Verse 43, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. A lot of people trying to fight against that one. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. It's not even about serving the Lord. It's the attitude that they had. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. And, you know, that's certainly a symptom of our society. No matter how much we have, there's a lot of grumbling and mumbling and people who are very unsatisfied and don't take a moment to actually recognize God's given them a pretty good deal. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. Verse 53, just in case you're not depressed yet. You shall eat the fruit. Eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children. Men are just going to start dropping out. We're not talking about the losers. We're talking about the winners. They're just going to have had enough of it. The tender and the delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity. Wow, she is delicate and sensitivity. who refuses the husband, will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter, her placenta, which comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly. If you do not carefully, there might be a literal fulfillment of this, but sometimes their parents don't even bother to love their kids. They're caught up in, and I'm not condemning people, I'm just saying this is the work of the enemy. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. I don't know why they call this the curse of the law. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you'll say, oh, that it were morning. I tell people today, quit wishing your life away. I mean, the time the Monday morning comes, they start wishing for Friday. Oh, that it were morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. You better change what you see. The law was a whip designed to drive us into the shadow of obedience. It couldn't really make us obedient because it couldn't add willingness to our obedience, but it sure could pressure us into it. And, of course, they tested it over and over and over, and these things would happen to them, and so then they would run back to God. And sometimes that's kind of how we are. The law was a whip of distress. It would pierce our consciousness with many blows until we cried out for mercy. It was just to keep us going until Jesus could come and save us. Galatians 3:24 and 25 says, "As therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Faith in who? Christ. "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Praise the Lord. Man, I'm glad to find that out. I should have found that out before I read all that stuff. Jesus is the seed that God promised would bring redemption. The law was never meant to be a means to redemption. It held out a hope, but it was a false hope to us. I mean, not because it was trickery, but because of our weak nature, made it impossible for us to keep it. Satan cannot keep the law, and we are born of his nature, and so we can't keep it either, because of the nature of death that's in us. And so the law offers a better life to those who are dying. It can help us stay alive longer, like a blood transfusion from a man who's dying or whatever. We're in an accident. I guess we can go get a blood transfusion, but it came out of someone who's going to die one day, and we're still going to die. It's not going to save us, but it could help. Though I guess the law can help us, you know, in that way a little bit, keep us living healthier, stronger. I guess if we're not murdering each other and doing all this stuff, we probably live longer. It's a set of good instructions for people doomed to die, but it can't save us. The law is a good set of instructions if used right. You know, it will be better for your flesh if you follow the law, but not the ceremonial parts that only puff up your flesh. The law is not good if you depend upon it, but it has its place in leading us to Christ and in keeping us from completely destroying ourselves before we learn to walk in the grace that Jesus bought for us. Galatians 3:10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. If you're going to rely upon the law, you're under a curse. As is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. The law is based on do's and don'ts. The law is based on what you do. The law is based on performance, not faith. Amen. God's plan to redeem us was always by means of a promise. Before he ever condemned man to death, he made a promise of a seed. He confirmed that promise to Abraham. I myself have decided this. I'm making a promise. The law was based on what a person does and does not do, not faith in Jesus. Redemption comes through the seed that God promised, not the law that was given to Moses to be our tutor. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Jesus Christ redeemed you from that curse. All that stuff that you see, that's not for us. Whenever you're experiencing that curse on your life, that's because the devil's robbing you. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that long list of nasties. You are redeemed from all those things, not because you keep the law, but because of the promise that God made. But we are not redeemed from the promise of the law. All that good stuff found in the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy belongs to us. And you're the head and not the tail. Everything you put your hand to comes to success. Don't be claiming anything else besides that. You have been redeemed from all the bad stuff that follows the, not based on what you do or don't do, but based upon Jesus. The only reason that we get beat up is because we doubt or have unbelief, or because those around us do. But if you have faith in Jesus, you'll overcome the curse in your life and the curse that you experience because of what others are doing also. This year is all about you, the year of understanding. Faith is based on knowledge. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing again. That never changes. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a month or whether you've been a Christian for 40 years. If you get tired of listening, you're going to end up experiencing being under the curse. Life will be rough as long as you're on earth. That God asks us to stay faithful here so that we can be lights to those who don't know what redemption is. And so that means we live under some injustices, things that God hasn't designed for us, but that's okay. We'll move on soon and enjoy all the privileges and everything that God has purchased for us. But you can live, but you still you can live constantly exposing yourself to the curse if you want to, thinking that you deserve defeat, being mad at God, trying to improve your performance, you can do all kinds of things, or you can live proactively standing against the curse because you know you've been redeemed from it. Amen. Knowing a victory that belongs to you based on faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. I love it, like everyone else, when blessing manifests physically. In a way that I can see it or sense it or know it. But I don't depend upon that. I can live in victory even when the evidence is the opposite, because I know I've been redeemed. If you're consumed by what the world has to offer, if it's just such a cherry or such a wonderful thing and your heart beats for it all, the law is your ticket. Get busy working on your performance. But in the end, you're going to lose it all. Now, if you're interested in living on the side of redemption based on the promise that God gave all by himself, then redemption that comes through faith in Jesus, that's your ticket. And victory is your future. So let's read some of of your blessings. Do I have time to read some blessings? I don't want to leave you depressed. You've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2 through 14, it says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And of course, for us, that means obedience through faith. Our job is to believe upon Jesus. That's our work. What do you do? I believe on Jesus. What do you do? Verse 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Choose where you want to live. Don't really make any difference. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, your basket, and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. No need to be confused, wondering whether to go in or go out. Just do one of them because you're blessed. Amen. You get to decide. If you want blessings to be out there, then go out there. And when you get there, it's blessed. If you want to be blessed inside, then go inside, because when you get there, it's blessed. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. A lot of times that's like unforgiveness and anger, and there's all kinds of things all kinds of enemies we have. So don't just apply this to people. God wants you to love people. But anyway, that was free. Up against you and defeat before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you for seven. You do not have to be stuck with anger all your life. Some people brag about the fits they have when they get mad. Don't be doing that. That's dumb.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. Inside joke.
Oh, goodness. Now I can't see.
God's good.
All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Oh, you get to the good stuff. It makes you happy. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. It doesn't matter what you put your hand to. It's blessed. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. That's believing upon Jesus Christ. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by his name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. What kind of a prosperity? Abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, in the young of your livestock, in the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, so that to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations and will borrow from none.
Amen.
The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. What's the command? What's our command? To believe upon the Lord. That's our job. To believe, to put our faith in the promise. All these blessings belong to you. There is only one command: faith in Christ. Receive the life of the seed into your life. That's where redemption comes from. And then once you figure it out that you're redeemed, forget about all the things that you experience or see or that happen. They don't mean nothing. They can't win. God's already made a promise. He decided Himself what was going to happen when we believed in Jesus. And there is no sense crying and bawling and being depressed all the way to victory. You just, well, get with the program and be excited about the advantages that we have. The world is going to become more and more like that curse. And you need to decide what part of that curse you want to live on. Do you want to live in that reality, believing all that stuff? Or do you want to know, be able to see something that's different than that? I need Jesus in my life. Because the alternative is too sad. Someone needs to be here. Be a light. You need to be here to love your children. Love your husbands and your wives. Someone needs to make a decision like God did. This is what I'm going to do myself. And then just go out and live in that. And don't live in defeat, because you've been redeemed. We serve such a good God. I want to pray for anybody who wants to be prayed for. We're going to sing a song. If you want prayer, come on up.